Hello, everybody. This is Paul Boyer. Welcome to your quarterly update, I guess, of the Mad Money Machine. This is episode 185 for December 7th, 2011. Just happens to be the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor Day. I think I'll celebrate by going out and buying a Japanese car. Merry Christmas to you. At the end of this episode, I'll have a pretty good Christmas song, which I think I've heard for the first time just recently. I think you will enjoy it, so stay tuned for that. This episode of Mad Money Machine is going to be a whole heck of a lot different than other episodes. Sure, I'll talk about the lazy portfolio performances year to date and gloat a little bit. But I'm also going to talk about a hypothetical scenario where countries get together to establish a new treaty. To go for the year 2011, and so far it's been a pretty good year for the Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio. These results are through December 6th, 2011. I'm using Yahoo historical quotes, adjusted quotes, to look at the performance of individual funds and then combine them for the various lazy portfolios. Well, through December 6th, 2011, the Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio is the champion of all the lazy portfolios. Once again, it is currently up for the year 13.3%. Isn't that fantastic? I think we deserve a round of applause for that one. My variant of it, that takes a little more risk in stocks, is only up 10.5%. Well, why is that? Well, it's because the Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio invests in VTI, the Total Stock Market Fund, and it's up 1.1%. My variation invests half the stocks in the Emerging Markets Fund, which is down 15.5%, making my total portfolio down about 3% worse than the total Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio. Amazing. That Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio is amazing. Let's look at a couple other components. The bond fund. Here's a surprise, I think, for 2011. At the beginning of this year, if you told someone to invest in long-term U.S. government bonds, they'd think you're crazy. Well, the TLT, that's the Long-Term Bond Fund, invests in U.S. government bonds of duration 20 years or longer. Year-to-date, including dividends reinvested, this bond, well, not really reinvested, just kind of cashed out. This long-term bond fund is up 29.2%. That's just ridiculous. Of course, with the interest rates continuing to be driven down, 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 that's why these bonds are worth more and more and more and more. Even the money market fund, which I invest in SHY, the short-term treasuries, it's up 1.4%. Hey, that's better than your bank account. And then the other stellar performer, one quarter aspect of the Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio, is gold. If you look at ticker symbol IAU, the gold fund, it's up 21.4%. So those components working together in this strange economy, bringing that Harry Brown Permanent Portfolio up that 13.3%. Now, what about that permanent portfolio mutual fund? I mean, if you just want to do it the easy way and not have to invest it yourself and rebalance, you just invest in one fund, PRPFX. Well, it is only up 5.2% for the year. Isn't that strange? Well, it invests in things other than the four components. It also invests in silver and in Swiss francs and other strange things. So And it also takes a little bit more risk, I believe, in stocks like the Paul Boyer Permanent Portfolio does. So it is only up 5.2%. How about some of those other notable lazy portfolios in the list that you can see them all at madmanmachine.com? The fund advice portfolio from Merriman, that's down 0.6% year to date. The coffee house, Bill Schulte's coffee house portfolio, it's up 1.2% year to date. You can see all the rest out at madmanmachine.com. It's about a year ago, if you remember, I went to that Vanguard Bogleheads meeting in Philadelphia. And it was at that time people laughed at me for talking about investing in gold. They said, gold is, it's just ridiculous to invest in gold at this price. At that time it was $1,400 an ounce. Right now it's about $1,700 an ounce. Let me ask you again, Bogleheads, is it ridiculous to invest in gold at this price? In other news, the European crisis. This is a point in time where we can literally ask, what is this world coming to? What is this world coming to? Well, with all of the debt overhanging all of the countries of the world, it's going to be a very interesting question to have answered indeed. What is this world coming to? The bailouts of all of these banks around the world, these banks that have taken such risk by undertaking these country debts. We just print more and more money. Print more and more and more and more and more money. Trillions and trillions of euros and trillions of dollars just created magically out of nothing to pay back the banks' risky endeavors. Where does the money come from? It comes from your money. It comes from decreasing the value of the money that you already own. Another term for that, of course, is called inflation. Well, yeah, I remember last week or so when the great grand announcement that they were going to bail out all the European countries, the stock market around the world rose tremendously in one day. 3%, 4%, 5% some of the indexes were up. Is that not itself an indication of inflation? Or at least a projection of people's feelings that inflation is coming? So I've heard things like peanut butter prices are up 40% and prices of various other foods and things are up. Well, prices of other things are down, though. Housing prices are down. Clothing prices, in some cases, are down. Of course, when we buy things from China, the prices of those things seem to be decreasing over time. Electronics, certainly, are getting more valuable. Your dollar buys a lot more electronics and computer gizmos than it did in previous months and years. So, what is this world coming to? Also, I've been watching, I think I've watched every Republican presidential debate. This is entertainment, isn't it? It's not information per se, other than the fact that someone can't perform very well on TV, so they get booted out of the game. But can we please just have a debate with Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, and Ron Paul? Can we please just narrow it down to those three guys at this point? I mean, it's entertaining to watch Michelle Bachmann. It's entertaining to watch Huntsman and Santorum. But they take up too much time. And the time for the debates is limited, 1 or 2 hours. I would rather see an honest, detailed debate. I'd rather see the candidates ask each other questions. And instead of this just silly gotcha type entertainment that poses for information. And why just have Donald Trump as a debate moderator? I mean, why don't we get the cast of Saturday Night Live up on the stage to ask questions, or Bozo the Clown to come in and ask the candidates questions? Just a little bit ridiculous the seriousness of the office of president. You know, one thing that that we never seem to talk about, too, is we talk a lot about the person of president. But there are a whole lot of people that make up the executive branch. And that selecting the one person as president impacts the whole executive branch. Just look at all the people that have been appointed by Obama that we never elected. We elected him. But we didn't elect Eric Holder. So no one ever talks about who would Newt Gingrich appoint for his executive branch. Who would Mitt Romney appoint for his executive branch? Who would Ron Paul appoint for his executive branch? All the differences in quality of people that would be filled in these positions, it's surprising that that's never talked about, and I don't know why. Well, we are coming up to the end of the year. It is time to do some year-end planning for your investments. If you do have some losses, perhaps in your taxable account that came in the stock market, like I have losses in the emerging markets fund, you might consider taking a loss in that fund, sliding it over into a different but equivalent fund for 31 days until you can get it back. And that is the process of tax loss harvesting. I would do a little bit more research before you actually engage yourself in that endeavor. But it is time to start thinking about that. The other thing it's time to start thinking about is rebalancing. I like to look at rebalancing in two ways. One is when they get really out of balance. And the other one, of course, is when the calendar changes over to a new year. Well, on this episode of the Madman Machine, I want to do something a little bit different than I've done before. I want to talk about a scenario, a hypothetical scenario, and see the implications of the hypothetical scenario. Imagine that a group of respected people from various countries got together recently at some national summit. A meeting, let's say, in Philadelphia, for the explicit purpose of modifying their previous UN treaties and agreements with each other. At the outset of the summit, it was declared that no one attending the summit was allowed to talk about the summit outside of the meeting. The attendees met for 4 months in a closed summit hall in complete secrecy. But instead of doing what they said they were going to do and modify previous agreements, they cleverly decided to create a completely new treaty of the United Countries, seeking to establish a single world government comprised of legislatures, judges, and even a president of the world. The people who met at the summit decided that in order for this new United Countries treaty to come into being, that 9 1/13 of the countries would need to sign it. But instead of requiring signatures from the various legislatures, the summit just asked for signatures from special country summits. At the end of the Philadelphia summit, even though not everyone at the summit agreed on the wording or ideas in the treaty, they stated that the attendees, quote, having written the treaty, decided unanimously to send it to the countries for approval. Get it? They decided unanimously to send it. Clever. They were thinking that this would confuse ratifiers into believing the treaty was unanimously agreed to. Well, the wording of their new treaty began with the phrase, "We, the people of the United Countries," but shouldn't it have read, "We, the countries of the United Countries?" The people in favor of the new treaty decided to take the name nationalists for themselves and for everyone who agreed with this new world government, even though globalists might have been a more accurate name. They called anyone that disagreed with them anti-nationalists. Clever. After their summit, three of the key authors of the treaty wrote op-eds in the New York Times under pseudonyms so that no one knew that they were the treaty's authors. Clever. Their goal was to convince the countries to agree to the treaty. The 85 articles they wrote came to be called the Nationalist or the Nationalist Papers. In them, they said that this new national government was needed to combat a common threat. They didn't specify the threat exactly, but perhaps it was a global environmental threat or asteroid collision or lone wolf terrorists or threat of alien invasion. Whatever it was, the threat was a crisis! The countries must act immediately to ratify the treaty. Some even begged that time need not be taken to debate the treaty in detail, just agree to it and trust the respected people of the summit that it's the right thing to do for the countries. Some of the articles in the treaty stated that they would need to impose taxes or fund a defense against the threat. A militant force would be assembled to fight the threat. Land for a headquarters of 10 square miles would have to be established. There was a clause that said that the new national government could enact laws that were necessary and proper for executing their powers. Another one said that the new Congress would have the power to promote the general welfare of the United Countries. Some things not explicitly stated in the treaty would happen anyway. People would be employed to collect the taxes. A world police would come about to enforce the collection of the taxes. After some time, agencies eventually would rise, such as the National Bureau of Investigation, the World Security Agency, the World Guard, the External Revenue Service, the World Reconnaissance Office, the National Emergency Management Association, the Department of World Education, the Department of World Energy, etc., etc. Eventually, this new national government would grow so large as to make the governments of the individual countries somewhat meaningless. If a country's police did not enforce the new national laws, the NBI would brought in to sweep down and arrest the offenders. As time went on, the people would eventually forget that the treaty was supposed to restrict the size of the national government. The anti-nationalists lost their argument, and the people of the world lost their liberty. Let's play a round of the world's most favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investing gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. And for the selected guru, give a little background on their investing philosophy. So here we go. And the winner on Madman Machine Show 185 is Elbridge Gerry. Well, Elbridge Gerry is not known as an investment guru, actually. Elbridge Gerry is known as an anti-nationalist. Here's a letter Elbridge Gerry wrote to his ratifying convention for the new treaty. Gentlemen, I'm honored to enclose, pursuant to my commission, the treaty proposed by the National Summit. I did not agree with the system, and I will submit my objections to the Honorable Legislature. It was painful for me, on a subject of such global importance, to disagree with the respected members who signed the treaty, but I believed that the world's liberties were not secured by the new system, and that it was my duty to oppose it. Here are my main objections to the plan. Number one, the people are not adequately represented. Number two, they have no security for the right of an election. Three, some powers of the legislative branch are ambiguous and others are indefinite and dangerous. Four, the executive branch is blended with and will have an undue influence over the legislature. Five, the judicial branch will be oppressive. Six, regulations of the highest importance can be formed by the president with the advice of 2/3 of a quorum of the Senate. And seven, The system does not have the security of a Bill of Rights. These objections do not apply to just a specific locality. They apply equally to all of the countries. Since the summit's purpose was for, quote, the sole and express purpose of revising existing agreements and reporting to Congress and the several legislatures the alterations and provisions that will render the national treaty adequate to the needs of government and the preservation of the Union of Countries, end quote, I did not imagine that these powers extended to the formation of the proposed plan. But the summit had a different opinion, so I reluctantly accepted it, being fully convinced that in order to preserve the Union, an efficient government was absolutely necessary, and that it would be difficult to make proper amendments to the existing agreements. The proposed system has few, if any, national features. Instead, it is a system of global government. Nonetheless, in many respects, I think it has great merit, and by proper amendments, it could be adapted to the needs of government and preservation of liberty. The question on this plan involves others of the highest importance. 1. Will the UN be closed down? 2. Will the national governments be changed so much that they will effectively be dissolved? And 3. In lieu of the UN and national governments, will the proposed global treaty be substituted in their place without any amendment? Never, perhaps, were a people called upon to decide a question of greater magnitude. If the citizens of the world adopt the plan as it now stands, their liberties may be lost. But if they reject it altogether, anarchy might result. It is clear, therefore, that their decision should not be made hurriedly. The subject should be well understood. Otherwise, they might have to refuse to support the government after having hastily accepted it. Regardless of whether they are for or against the treaty, if discussions about it remain moderate, they will provide a great deal of information, and the result will be a happy one. Some may urge that we have total confidence in the summit. But no matter how respectable the members may be who signed the treaty, only a free people are the proper guardians of their rights and liberties. The greatest men can make mistakes, and their mistakes are sometimes the largest. Other people might assume that the treaty can be safely adopted because of the provisions it contains to amend it. But can't this better be done before it's ratified than after it? Should free people really adopt a form of government knowing that it needs amendment? Some others might think that if the people do not adopt the plan, that they will not unite in another plan. But surely, while they still have the power to amend it, they do not need to completely reject it. I've been delayed here longer than I expected, but I will leave here in a day or two for America. When I arrive, I will submit the basis for my objections, if required by the legislature. I will only add that since the welfare of the Union requires a better treaty than the UN treaty, I believe it is my duty as a citizen of America to support whatever is finally adopted, sincerely hoping that it will secure the liberty and happiness of the world. Sincerely, Elbridge Gerry. Well, congratulations, Elbridge Gerry. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine, show 185. Let's pull something out of the Mad Men Machine tool crib. And this tool is a rather self-serving one. If you didn't quite understand the previous two readings, you can go out to the madmachine.com website and look at them again and use this tool. It's a word substitution tool. Substitute the following words in the previous statements. Instead of summit, replace and use the word convention. Replace country with state. Replace national with federal. Replace world or global with national or nation. Replace UN with confederation. Replace treaty with constitution. Replace UN treaty with articles of confederation. And replace America with Massachusetts. That's your tool in the crib. And like other tools I've given you so far, it's all free. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Now give me money. Now give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. Well, if all the previous sounds a little bit stilted, you might know that September 17th, 2012, will be the 225th anniversary of just such an event happening. And the letter from Elbridge Gerry, if you substitute those words and translate back to the original 18th century English, is actually a letter written by Elbridge Gerry with his arguments against ratifying the U.S. Constitution. Told you this show is going to be a little bit different. I will see you again in January as I give you the full and complete 2011 Lazy Portfolio Performance Update. So thank you so very much for listening. This is Paul Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a UC treaty to make a mad money machine. I'll see you in January. And I'd like to leave you now with a Christmas song. This is from Casting Crowns, and it is entitled, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas, everybody.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play. Mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir, they're singing in my heart. Despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing like a choir, they're singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them. We'll be right back. on earth.